friends, it's Ken Carmen.
And Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
If the NFL draft started Thursday, if it were this weekend, our Cleveland Browns would be drafting third overall. You know what that means, Andy?
That means we'd have to use our other pick to move up to number one.
Means you'd maybe get your second choice at quarterback. Could maybe even get your first if you stayed at number three. Welcome to Basket of Phelps, everybody. I'm Jeff Phelps. My partner over there is Andy Baskin.
Our good friends at Tankathon think 21st for our second pick, although they also think second. So keep tanking there.
Well,
going to get a little higher.
Did you just say tanking?
Well, that was Tankathon. That's not me. That's not,
I was going to say that was a bold statement.
That is an official website of those that believe that they want their teams to lose so they can get a higher draft pick.
Right now, the Browns are sitting third. You made it through this six-game gauntlet to start the season that everybody was afraid of for good reason. It didn't go well. You're 1-5. Andy, this team right now, and Kevin Stefanski is coming up, by the way, at 10:55. We're going to hear from the coach of the Browns. Get ready for that. Our Browns beat reporter, Daryl Ryder, will join us at 12:40. Chris Rose at 1 o'clock. Dylan Gabriel will speak today. We'll hear from Dylan right around noon, sometime in that vicinity.
Yep.
You've made it through this six-game stretch. You're 1-5. But I wonder now. You're 1-5, okay? You've got the third pick in the draft. We touched on this earlier in the week. At this point, the rest of the way, do you want results or do you want information?
What do I want?
Well, I'm wondering what everybody wants.
Are you asking me straight out what I want? I want results. I'm not wired the other way. I'm wired for results. I still want to believe that if they can get on a streak here, something crazy can happen and they could...
Crazy like what?
Crazy like extend the season. I'm not saying they're going to make the playoffs. They're one win. But I can't stand the thought of walking into a stadium or turning on my TV on Sunday or just engaging in Browns football thinking that I want them to lose. That is just insane. I can't believe that players want to walk into a locker room and go like, you know, it might be better if we lose. We're going to get another quarterback next year. Or maybe that you're trying to support the quarterback they have. Or, you know, I am not wired to think tank. It's not who I am. It's not what I believe sports should be. It drives me crazy. And I know there's a reality to it. And I know sometimes being bad helps you to become better later down the road. I hate it. I can't stand it. I think it's a loser's mentality. I think even if you're 1-5, you got to go out there every week and try to win. And wherever the football gods put you at the end of the season for your draft pick, so be it. So be it. I can't stand the thought of a team walking into a venue with even the inkling of saying, let's lose. It drives me nuts.
All right, let me give you this one then.
Okay.
If you're trying to get results through six games, you're 1-6 or 1-5.
I knew they were going to be tough games. We all knew it.
That didn't work. So might it be time to try to get results by doing something different and getting information at the same time?
All right, how do you do that?
Well, that's a fine line too, but just trying to flat out win football games hasn't worked. And your offense is the worst in the NFL. So what you've been trying to do, if you've been trying to get results, well, that didn't work.
I've also tried to do this with two different quarterbacks, sometimes two-fifths or three-fifths of my regular offensive line. I know my wide receiving core is a group of underachievers at this point. I don't know. Maybe that changes. Maybe we see
are
softer defensive backs.
Are they underachievers or are they just achieving at the level that they're prepared to capable of performing at?
When you're near the top or a league leader in drops, you're underachieving. You're underachieving. That's not...
But are you underachieving if you're just not very good? You know what I mean?
I don't, man. You're in the NFL. You've got to have done something right along the way to be there.
I would.
No one's putting guys on the field that haven't done something outstanding or excelled to make an NFL team say, you know what, we want to put them on the roster.
Think that's true. Jordan Reed from ESPN put out his mock draft. Yeah, I'm looking at mock drafts already.
Sure.
The first overall pick, he has Fernando Mendoza.
I saw that.
Quarterback from Indiana. And then he has Reuben Bain, an edge rusher, going to Baltimore at number two. Right now, the Ravens have the second overall pick. And then at three, he has the Browns taking Dante Moore, the quarterback from Oregon.
We'll have the Oregon locker room here. We'll become the Cleveland Ducks.
Who was backup to Dylan Gabriel last year. This screams, uh-oh, Akili Smith, run far, run fast. Moore has played in 11 career games. So anyhow, that's just kind of where you are. Right now, you have the third overall pick in the draft. If you win some games, you're not going to have the third overall pick. But you might be able to change some things, Andy, and start to build for the future if maybe you start winning with guys that you're looking for to gain information from. Do you know what I'm trying to thread a needle here. I'm trying to walk a really fine line because right now they're 1-5. It's over in theory. It's over. So yeah, if you're going to lose,
it's hard for me to wake up on Sunday mornings and believe it's over now. It's really hard for me to believe it's over now. I know it's a reality. I got to look in the mirror and say to myself, they have one win. They're not going anywhere this year. But I just can't live like that. I can't live with that. By the way, along the lines of your mock draft stuff.
Yeah.
So Tankathon has them with the number two pick, which is, I guess this is all percentage point stuff, right? Or maybe even a coin flip. They also have them taking Dante Moore from Oregon. And then...
who became the hot guy.
Yeah. And then at 21...
your guy, Carnell Tate.
No. Isaiah World, the offensive tackle from Oregon.
Well, that'd be fine, too.
Man, we are going to be the Ducks here very soon.
Here's the thing. What do you think it will take to make the playoffs?
Miracle run. I mean, okay.
Give me a number. Do you think an NFL team this year will make the playoffs with a record of 9-8?
I think you'd have to get to 9 at the least. At the least, you got to get to 9.
That means the Browns would have to go 8-3 in the last 11 games. Let's just cut right to it. Can this team go 8-3 the rest of the way?
They have too many hard games. There's 5 losses that are already scheduled.
Did the NFL put those in already?
Well, I can see it already. Didn't you get the script? Come on, Jeff. Get with the program.
I don't think this team is capable of going 8-3. That's why if I'm going to go one way or the other, I'm not throwing all my assets in here. I'm going to try and gain some information while trying to get better. And I'll give you that. You can't tell a locker room full of pro athletes, we're not trying our best to win, because they don't care. They don't care who's going to get drafted. That's the guys who get drafted take their jobs. So they don't care. In theory, they're going to try and win. And coaching staffs, in most situations that we've ever heard of, try to win football games and try to put game plans together to win football games. Unless their marching orders are very different. We've talked about that before. Who knows? I just don't think this team is capable of going 8-3.
Jeff, can they beat Miami? I think they will.
I think they're going to win that game. We're not going to play the schedule game, are we?
You. That's 2-5. Can they beat New England?
Dan, he's playing the schedule game.
I don't care. Can they beat New England?
No.
Can they? Dan, go play along with me. Can they beat Miami?
Yes. Favorite of that game.
Yeah. Can they beat New England?
Yes.
Jeff, can they beat New England?
I'll say no.
Can they beat the Jets?
Yes.
Both of you, yes.
Yes.
So now...
That's two wins,
baby.
We're saying
can, right? Not will?
Can.
Okay.
Here's an interesting
one. They can beat anybody. Ask Green Bay.
Yeah. Baltimore.
But ask Cincinnati. I don't think they'll
beat... If Lamar Jackson's back, no way.
I still don't think they'll beat Baltimore.
No way. Vegas, which always seems to be a weird game when you're out west, whether it was Oakland or LA.
Yeah, they can beat Vegas.
I think they can, too.
That's 4 wins.
San Francisco?
No.
Tennessee.
Yes.
Yes.
That's 5 wins.
Chicago.
Unlikely.
Chicago.
Can they? Yes.
Okay, it's all in here. Buffalo's a no.
We're playing the can game. No,
Buffalo's a no unless they pull off a Green Bay, kind of a weird deal.
That's a slam dunk no.
Pittsburgh.
I'm gonna say yes. They beat him. They've beat him once a year.
I bet Rodgers is banged up by then.
So yes,
that's six wins. Yes,
they can win that.
Dan's a little bit closer to where I am.
You're gonna prove my point.
Cincinnati last.
Yes.
Yes.
So that means they have finished really strong, Andy. And
yes,
they have won six of the last 11 games. And that puts your record at 7-10 and takes you out of position to get the quarterback you want and drops you about 14th in the draft. Gee, that's great.
I don't know. Dude, I just...
Will is a completely different word than can.
If they can pick up... If they win this week...
Andy... Even if they do well,
Jeff, I did this with you with the Guardians.
All they're going to do is drop themselves out of the contention for a good pick.
So what? Maybe we have a quarterback.
Yeah,
can
maybe,
we have a quarterback?
Maybe his name is Dylan Gabriel.
Maybe.
Maybe his name is Shador Sanders.
Maybe.
Let's find out.
Okay, we'll find that out. But I'm also saying I'm not giving up hope. I'm sorry.
Maybe they have a future right guard.
I didn't give up hope on the Guardians, and I was right, wasn't I? So what am I?
I'm
one for one now.
Wait, you were the only one? No, this whole room was going nuts on the Guardians, baby.
One day I came in here and said raise the white flag, and then I'm like, nope, I can see a path.
I never raised it because they have pitching.
That's total garbage. You guys both said the season's over.
Actually, no.
I don't remember Dan saying that. Jeff,
this is the football equivalent of not hitting the ball past the pitcher's mound.
Yeah, they just can't hit.
Oh, not scoring 20 points. Same thing.
No, Andy. Not scoring 18 points.
What do you want them to do? So should we be watching these games? What do you want?
You've taken me to where I want to be now.
Okay,
where do you want to be?
Yes.
See, by playing the schedule game and us erring on the side of optimism.
Yes.
We have them winning.
No, you. Dan and I have a difference. Dan and I had more wins than you did. But keep going.
You said can, not will.
Yeah, you said can. Yes, and we thought they can win about six of the final 11 games.
They're a
one-win
team.
Which puts them at 7-10 and drops them out of contention for anybody that they really want at quarterback. And then you're like, great, that's swell.
So you're good. You want them to lose every week.
Nope.
I'm hearing your voice say,
nope.
I want the Browns to lose every week.
Nope.
I don't. I can't.
Nope.
I can't live like that.
I don't want them to lose. What I want them to do, because they've been playing what they think is their best, you know, their best lineup to win. Well, that hasn't worked.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen
and Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
So what I want them to do with the trade deadline coming up, I want them to move anything that's not nailed down. And I want to see if they can collect assets. I'll describe those kind of assets. I think there are people on this team that need to play who aren't playing. And you probably need to find out some things.
Is that your quarterback?
Because
your backup quarterback?
Nope, that's not him at all.
Hmm.
But there are other guys. 216-474-0092. What do you think, folks? You trying to get information here, or are you looking for results? Because the results didn't come with the guys you were playing. So you might as well play somebody else, try to get results, and get information. Are you confused? I'll explain it all. There are guys I think you should play. Kevin Stefanski coming up at 10:55. It's Baskin and Phelps right here on The Fan.
You can listen to The Fan anytime, anywhere on the free Odyssey app or by telling your smart speaker to play 92.3 The Fan.
Yeah.
And now you can find 92.3 The Fan on YouTube, including The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima from 6 to 10 a.m.
Nice.
And Afternoon Drive with Nick Wilson and Jonathan Peterlin from 2 to 7 p.m. live each and every weekday on 92.3 The Fan's YouTube channel. Subscribe to the channel for free and watch all the best content from all of your favorite shows on The Fan live and on demand, with the exception of the midday show, Baskin and Phelps.
When's Volnick's show getting up there?
Oh, it's got to be on by next week.
Okay. That'll be great. Stefanski's press conference coming up. We're sitting here, and Andy and I are kind of picking at each other today.
I'll be honest. I'm kind of glad we're not on YouTube, because that way we don't have to get dressed.
Well,
you can wear a hat.
Yeah, I have a hat.
I don't have to
on.
Worry about all that stuff. It's all those things we used to say.
We've got these silly lights in here that are like burning our retinas, you know?
If that's in case they want a clip. They can take a clip and send it
Clips are good.
So that you can understand just part of the content. And then spew off irrational thoughts on X. And I can look there and you can be like, this idiot didn't listen to the whole thing. They got one little piece and now they think this. But the reality of it is this. And then I go in and I look at it. I'm like, should I correct them? And then I think to myself, Dan Menigan says that social media is just a window on the world, and sometimes you just need to close the window. So then I close the window, and then I'm good, and I can sleep.
So Andy and I are kind of picking at each other today.
I'm glad I've made some level of impact.
Thank you. You are.
I don't want them to lose. I don't want them to tank.
You incomplete me.
But they're 1-5. They've been playing these guys.
Just like my homework.
Many of them are in the last year of their contracts. I am real game for the idea of trying to move some of these pieces and finding other people who might be able to help me out.
Yeah, you're emerging like the young kids.
If they had guys that they liked in the draft who got picked up by somebody else, and their sixth or seventh round pick, and the Browns had a little higher grade on them or whatever, if you need to move somebody to do that, then you move somebody to do that. I mentioned Zach Jackson's piece in The Athletic. He even mentions Corey Bohorquez, trading Corey Bohorquez because he's not under contract for next year.
I'm not trading Corey Bohorquez. He's our best player. Come on.
He's a punter.
He is our best player. Why? And if you ever listen to Coach Tressel at the time, he'll tell you the most important play in the game is the punt.
I listen to him. He's my lieutenant governor.
And also, our current head coach preaches every drive needs to end with a kick.
Now, see,
and if you don't have a guy that can't kick or punt, then you got trouble.
I don't want
to agree too.
Yeah, I don't want to trade Corey Bohorquez, but this is the reality of the situation. You don't think you can go find another punter if he's going to leave next year in free agency? You don't think you can go find another?
Why does he have to leave? Why can't they just pay him?
He doesn't have to, but maybe he will. That's all I'm saying, Andy, is be open to these things. Look, not for you, the management, and I'm sure they will be. Dan, during the break, came walking in because he understands what I'm trying to say here. And Dan said, you want to see Zach Zinter. I get it. So Wyatt Teller would make sense to trade. I don't want to trade Wyatt. I think he's good. But you have Zach Zinter sitting here. And that's the type of thing you're looking for. There's a guy who's on this team right now who I actually want to see. I want to see this guy play. I'll tell you who it is in a minute. David's in New York. David.
Yes. Thank you for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
And I want to say that I agree with you. It's time to reset. Get the most for the people that you can get rid of that are going to be looking to be traded next year. And the other thing is the owner, GM, and the coaches are in a canoe and they're all like rowing in different directions. The owner wants now to get out from under Deshaun Watson. That's why he picked Shador to get money, jerseys, people in the stands. Barry went along with it. Barry and the owner are in cahoots.
Ooh, David, David, what do you do for a living? Just curious.
I'm a retired gemologist.
Oh. Nice.
Did you own the company or
That's
no?
That's awesome.
Yes, I'm a retired jeweler.
So that's awesome.
The person. So do you have people work for you?
Yes.
If you asked them, if you asked them to do something and they didn't do it, what would you do?
Fire them.
Okay, keep going. I'm listening.
You see, this is, you know, it is a kid's sport, but it's business.
Kid's sport, man. That money doesn't tell me. It's keep going, keep going, keep going.
But the problem is, I hate to tell it to you, you're never going to come out of this with Haslam sticking his nose and forcing Barry to do what he wants. Barry's a mouthpiece for the owner, and the coach has no say. He's riding along what they're planning to do, if you'd like to know.
Oh, please tell us.
They're gonna get rid of the coach. They're gonna bring in a quarterback coach, a coach that can help a young quarterback.
Well, is that what Kevin was? Had,
yeah, I thought that was Kevin.
And no, yeah, he isn't. Look at his play calls.
I can't argue with you on that last game. David, right. Great to hear
from
you, David.
Thank you. From the great state of New York.
I said there's a guy I want to see more of. You ready?
Yes.
And again, I'm not saying, yes, this guy's the answer. I want to see more of Malachi Corley. Malachi's a wide receiver. If you look at his numbers from when he was in college at Western Kentucky, they were silly. He was silly good. And he was a Jets third-round draft choice, 65th overall pick. So he's like the first pick of the second round or the third round. And he was one of those guys who dropped a football on the way into the end zone and fell out of favor in New York like absolute crazy. He's played here. He had one carry. They gave him one carry. Malachi's college numbers are silly. And his draft profile, he was compared to by Lance Zierlein at NFL.com to Deebo Samuel. Now, am I saying that this guy is great? Nope, but I want to see him. I want to see him because you know why? Nobody else is doing a dang thing at wide receiver. You know who else I want to see at wide receiver?
Andy? I want to see Luke Florio, Jeff.
No, no, I'm sorry. It's
why?
Not, it's not Luke.
I want Jeff Phelps in my corner.
Man. Thank you. You know who? Fine for Luke, great. You don't need, forgive me, everybody in Menard, don't get mad at me. You don't need Luke and Gage Larvadin. You don't need 2 5-8
Although
wide
Gage
receivers.
Got whacked last
year. Yeah, I know. Man. Poor kid, man. They almost had to carry him off the field. You don't need
two. Luke did have 7 touchdowns. On a team that struggled at Kent State.
Okay. You don't need 100,
over 100 receptions.
You don't
receptions,
need 2 5-8 wide receivers.
1,300 yards.
Corley was a high third-round pick. He's only 23 years old. Excuse me. He's 23. Put him on the field and let's see what he has. Okay? Let's see that. And give it a chance. You know who else I want to see, Andy?
Luke Florio.
Your guy, Jamari Thrash.
Yeah, he, Jamari
Throw
just
him
has
the dang ball, will you? I mean, you're throwing it to Jerry Jeudy. He's not catching it. Cedric Tillman, you're throwing it to him, but, he's not on the field. So he's not getting it at all, is he? Let's find out if Corley can play. He sure as heck could play in college, and he was a third-round pick. Hi. Has he been a knucklehead? Maybe. Is he 23? Yep. Let's see what he can do. Get him the ball. Dave's in Cleveland. Hello, Dave.
Dave wants to see Luke for you, too. Hey, Dave.
Hey, morning, gentlemen.
Morning.
Hey, Jeff, you said something last segment, just what goes along with just my thought for you guys, is you asked us, do you want wins? Do you want info? And I forget what the third thing was.
It was basically results or information, Dave, really.
Yeah, pain and suffering.
All right. Well, I believe you guys are intelligent people, but I wonder, I would like info. I kind of feel like, I doubt they would say this, but maybe they would. I just kind of think the Cleveland Browns with Haslam as the owner, it's just a business. You know, I know that they got to at least say that they're going out for wins. But as of right now, I kind of feel like it's like 70% just a business for the Haslams and 30% about the wins, you know. And
hey, Dave, let me give you some information that will back that up. Okay. Now, and stick with me on this. I agree with you on that. And the reason I say this is for this reason. You see some people who buy a team and then they do everything and pour their heart and soul into that team. Okay. Like I think Jerry Jones is he gets in his own way as his general manager, but he's the Dallas Cowboys, you know, the Mara family in with the Giants. That's what they do. The Haslams own the Browns. They own the Columbus Crew, and they're part owners and maybe getting to be bigger owners of the Milwaukee Bucks. So clearly they've shown us that sports is a business for them. But winning is good business.
You think having the new stadium is going to bring wins?
I think it will bring dollars, and in theory it might bring, with dollars, better decisions if you get lucky, you know, if you have the right folks. Maybe more free agents. I don't know, Dave. I truly don't know. But I just gave you why you're right. I mean, the Haslams own 3 professional sports franchises. It's clearly a business. But winning is good business.
I know. I just feel as us fans and even you guys as radio sports DJs that we're just acting delusional.
We're DJs.
And we talk of...
Yeah,
you know, we talk about all this stuff, but
well, we get to talk about it for 4 hours a day, Dave, and we appreciate you listening. Thank you. Kevin Stefanski's press conference is coming up in a little bit here.
Mannequin, drop me a bass, man. We're DJs now.
Roger's in Akron. Hey, Rog.
Well, excuse me, guys. I'm having breakfast.
Tell me about it.
Roger, are you related to Frank and Kent?
You sound a lot like everybody else we have on the station.
Frank, who?
Frank and Kent.
See, you know brother? Him. Come on. See, you got to be related to him.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Frank and I are drinking buddies. And Kent, come
not,
on.
Not doesn't shocked surprise at all. Me. Not shocked at all.
Would now, explain the voice.
Let's talk about Jimmy. You're right. The other guy's right. Jimmy. Business. It's business.
Yes.
Making money. Brook Park is business. Making money, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Show me a business owner that's not making business, and I'll show you a guy who's not a business owner.
Well, he's not so much concerned about the wins.
Yeah, he but winning is good business, Roger.
He ran Baker out of town. We know that, right? Huh? Okay.
So they ran him out of Charlotte and L.A. too. But
no, you're right. Hey, I'm with you on that, Frank. He ran him out of town. I'm with you. Although okay. I think he wanted to make up. I think he really tried. I think he wanted to, after they realized that Deshaun said he didn't want to come here, I think he was like, whoa, wait a second, this isn't right. And then Baker decided he was gone.
Well, look, what Jimmy ought to do, and the network commentator was right for criticizing Barry for letting Haslam run the team and sending Flacco to a competitor. He's absolutely right. I heard him the other day, you know? Is that what he did? That's what Barry did. He did what Haslam told him to do, or he'd be fired, right?
Yeah, but I don't think if Flacco, can anyone listen? Can we all listen to this premise for a second? They told Joe he wasn't starting anymore. We all down with that? We all understand that? That's a fact. Like, and if they really wanted to do Joe right, they would have traded him somewhere. Would I have traded him to Cincinnati? No. But they gave him the opportunity to go start somewhere. So maybe at the end of the day, they did Joe right.
All to move up several at the most 60 spots.
If they weren't going to use him, and as we knew earlier in the season, they wanted to see the young quarterbacks.
I get that.
And now you're sitting at one wins. Now I'll give you ammo for your own argument here this morning.
No, I get it, but that goes against what I'm talking about. Like moving Joe Flacco to move up 60 spots in the draft at the most. Let me throw one other name at you.
Let me just tell you one thing. The reason I want Njoku and Fannin together is because for a team that throws the ball down the field less than 15 yards a pop, your best option most
for now.
Your best option tends to be a tight end, a reception guy who can, you know, give you 3-4 yards, 5 yards. I want two quality tight ends, and you have them right now. You know, it's probably one of the few things that isn't broken on this offense, Njoku and Fannin. And they like Whitehart too. And I don't know if that's just because of the play calling from Kevin, that Kevin's offenses seem to run through the tight end spot. But, you know, you look at it, I'd much rather have two tight ends.
That hasn't
worked though,
has it?
Oh, you know, it kind of did. It just didn't get them into the end zone last week. I mean, they had some pretty long, sustained drives to eat clock to keep the defense off the field. The problem is you got to score once you get into the red zone. And now all of a sudden, and you can go back to your three plays where they decided to run rather than pass.
First and goal from the three.
Yeah, I just...
Run, penalty or sack on the...
I mean, if you ask me what's not broken on the offense, I'll tell you, tight end and running back. That's it.
I'm not as yet sold on the tight ends as you are. I think David...
How could you not be sold on Harold Fannin?
I think he's been okay. I don't think he's been incredible. He's played six games and he's looked pretty good.
He can block, he can catch. He's doing everything they've asked him to do.
I think he's looked pretty good. It's six games. I'm not going to put him on. No, I'm not giving him the Mackey Award.
Insane.
Well, seriously, I mean,
Jeff, there are so many broken things on this offense. How can you?
I didn't say it was broken. I'm saying
he's not broken. He's one of the few.
I think he's doing fine. But I don't think he's been great. I mean, the only thing on the entire offense that I think has been great has been Quinshon Judkins. That's it. I don't think anything else has been great on the offense. They're averaging under 14 points a game.
All right, well, forget about great. How about just works? He works.
I think he's been just fine, and I think he has a great future ahead of him. But again, I'm not ready to say, oh my God, you got a stud. I hope you did.
There's a lot of people that are ready. I mean, he's 14th in the league right now.
Well, that's in what?
Targets, receptions. I'm just looking at some of the. Where is he at yards wise? Let me look at yards. He was listed as four. Ninjoku's also 14th in yards. Oh, sorry. Fannin is actually, I'm glad you made me re-look this up. He is ninth in the league.
I didn't make you look it up.
He is ninth in the league in total yards for a tight end.
That's
top 10.
That's wonderful.
Okay.
Can we score some points, please?
I'm not going to argue with that. I've been sitting here for 2 years talking about a team that hasn't been able to get over 20 points. So.
Jackson Solon. Hey, Jack.
Hey, Jack.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Is it, Jack?
Happy Grouch Day. Did you know it's National Grouch Day today?
It is?
Well, by God, we're fitting right in.
Oh, me and Oscar. By the way, MVP for the Houston Astros when they won the World Series. Oscar the Grouch. Thank you. Keep going.
So, since it's National Grouch Day, you know, when we listen to Kevin Stefanski's press conferences, which is really difficult to do because he always says the same thing, will you allow me to ask him a question that he has to answer?
Sure. Go ahead, counselor. What do you want to ask him?
Kevin, in every press conference,
yes.
You tell me that you have to coach better and the players have to play better. So can you please tell me the last time you coached better and your players played better? Because you have an inept offense. You have special teams that are probably also inept. And in my view, you may have a defense that is overrated. And the reason I say that...
Excuse me, Your Honor. Speculative. And can we get to the question there, please? Can we get to the question? What's the question again?
He has to answer the question.
Well, ask the question. If you can't handle the truth, then don't ask. Ask the question. He's going to give you the answer right now. Go ahead. Ask it.
When is the last time you coached better and your players played better?
Good question, counselor.
Yeah, Jack, I understand the question.
Here's the answer, Jack. Hang on.
Jack, I understand the question, and I understand your want to have it. We are every day trying to get better in all aspects of coaching, playing, and everything else. Better is also a term that could be used to describe something we have not yet to achieve while we believe we are trying to improve every day.
Is that good enough for you? Because that's what you're going to get.
Yeah, BS, right.
I'll give you a real answer. Last 4 minutes against Green Bay.
That was a fluke.
Jack, you might be right.
Jack, that was a total
fluke. You might be right.
Move to stricken from the record, please.
And Jack, the reason you say the defense might be overrated because they had another win and the defense let the Vikings march right down the field.
Well, when you don't cause turnovers, and I think if you look, we're probably at the bottom of the league and causing turnovers. Am I right?
They were tied for second to last in turnover ratio last week.
There you go. So and they don't make the stops when they have to. So that to me is not a good defense.
Jack, let me and thank you, Jack. Let me give you this one. Our buddy Tyvus Powell, who we work with on the Browns Radio Network.
You didn't even give him a chance for final summation. Man. Oh, Due process, man.
We enjoy.
Let's learn something in the civics class.
It's fun to sit and watch football with Tyvus. And I was talking to Tyvus, and I asked him on the show, you're the defense, and your offense isn't scoring. How difficult is that? And we had him on the show on Monday as well. And Tyvus flat out said this, go score some defensive touchdowns. And to me, you know,
I thought that last week too.
Defensive touchdowns are kind of fluky. But he said, they're not scoring. We got to score. We have to score. We have to get the ball back, and we have to score. And I thought, that's pretty bold, but that's the way you're supposed to think. And this team certainly isn't doing that right now. Freese is in Akron. Hello, Freese.
Hey. Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen
and Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
Freese.
Hey, what's up, y'all?
How are you?
You are.
Hey, the Dan Minigan, man, the Kevin Stefanski hook is, like, spot on, man. Every time I hear it, I'm like, that's Stefanski to the heart. But I was calling.
Low hot air with the best of them, man. I appreciate it.
But I was calling because, Jeff, man, I think you wanted something with playing these young guys and figuring out, man, what you got, man. But I'm also in the mindset that they just need to go in the full rebuild mode. And one name that y'all didn't mention, man, when y'all was talking about trading somebody was, why ain't nobody just talking about trading Myles Garrett? I was in the agreement that they should have traded him before they gave him the contract, man. They would have got draft picks. And then 2-3 years down the line, and I know, Andy, you don't want to hear this, but it would have been kind of like a tanking season. But 2-3 years down the line, you would have appreciated those draft picks because they would have turned out to probably be something.
Freeze, here's what I agree with. If they were going to let him go, they should have let him go when he wanted to go. And now, yeah, I mean, we're talking about a full – if you want to do a full rebuild, why would you want to take apart one of the best defenses in the league? That doesn't make sense to me. So, like, we only have to build half a house. Why would we tear apart the defense when the offense is the problem? And special teams hasn't helped any either. Let's be honest there. But I mean, they only have to build. I mean, how far away are they? Yes, we need a quarterback. I got that. Yes, we need a couple wide receivers. And the offensive line needs some new blood in there. But otherwise, that seems a lot easier than ripping the entire house down and rebuilding it. The defense is there. It's there. The teams we played, they know it. And so why would you want to walk away from Miles now? You got the deal. It's settled. Let's just keep moving forward with him.
Because we need too much on offense to catch up to what the defense got. The defense is special. Like, they could win a Super Bowl.
Yes. So why would you walk away from that? Why would you walk away from
it? He's not. He wants to tinker with it.
Yeah, but to get rid of Miles, you're going to take away – I mean, you're taking away the foundation.
Well, you're taking away the foundation, but I believe, man, with those draft picks that you would get for him, you would probably draft a player probably of that like caliber. They're going to give you some first-round picks. Look around the league. You got San Francisco. They need an end. Bosa is gone. Then you got Dallas.
Priest, let me ask you this. Let's say they get two first-round picks for him. Now you got four first-round picks next year in the draft. Do you trust this front office to rebuild that team with four?
And that's the second part of the equation. Yeah. That's got to go too. Like, from top to bottom, it's got to be the Podesta, it's got to be Stefanski, and it's got to be Barry. And just got to get some guys in there that know what they're doing with the draft picks. Because obviously, when Kevin came in, those weren't his players. Those were somebody else's players that he won those.
They weren't Andrew Barry's players either, Freese. Yeah, and thanks for the phone call, Freese.
Dorsey's still here, isn't he? That. Mangini's still here, too.
Yeah, they're all here.
All these guys back.
Yeah, might as well. Dylan Gabriel's press conference coming up in about 15 minutes, roughly. We'll hear it right here on The Fan. I mentioned Malachi Corley. I have another wide receiver that I want to just throw his name out after we hear from Jeremy in Brook Park. Jeremy.
What's up, Jeremy?
Hey, good morning, guys. How you doing?
Well, good. I drove by the Dome today. It looks like they're getting ready.
Yeah, I actually work right across the street from where they're building it. So, yeah, I get to see the progress every day.
Yeah, you should call in and give us updates. Or how about weekly updates from Jeremy?
Jeremy can be our dome correspondent.
Yeah, our window on the dome.
Make it a regular thing. That sounds good.
We're good.
There's no money.
Let me see. That pays $0 and $0.00. No congratulations.
Money, welcome to radio.
I don't do charity, so
there you go. That's the way to be.
We do every day from 10 to 2. That was a joke.
Anyway, I just wanted to touch on the game on Sunday, last Sunday. I'm not a genius by any means, but when you watch football, if you've watched football your whole life, you kind of understand the basics of it. And one of the things that really concerned me about last week was the fact that they were letting inexperienced tackles play on an island one-on-one against the Steelers pass rushers. I mean, I think my mom could have figured out not to let that happen because, I mean, how could you let T.J. Watt go one-on-one against an inexperienced tackle the whole game? You know, you would think they would have tight ends on the end of the line to help chip those pass rushers to give Gabriel time to throw the ball.
Jeremy, even bring in an extra offensive lineman. Run one more of a jumbo package.
That too. You
more
could
often
do that
than
too.
They did some stuff.
But it seems like that's happened numerous times throughout Stefanski's tenure here. There were times where the Browns would be running the ball effectively all the way down the field, and then, you know, they get to the goal line and Nick Chubb would be on the sideline, and then they'd be throwing the ball three times and then they wouldn't score and then they'd have to kick a field goal. I mean, it's not rocket science, guys. I don't understand what it's like. He thinks he's smarter than everybody, but then he outsmarts himself, and then they end up shooting themselves in the foot. Am I the only one that's seeing that?
No, Jeremy, I don't think you are. And we appreciate now having a covered stadium correspondent, Jeremy in Brook Park.
No, he's not doing it. It's for free. He's already on strike.
There's some... Join the club, right?
Jeremy needs better wages. You better negotiate with him.
Obviously, what they did the other day was, I thought it was just awful. You know, the lack of running, Dylan throwing 52 times, dropping back another six and getting sacked. I mean, he's not the biggest guy, as we know. He's not going to, if he holds up, by golly, whatever it is he is eating and drinking needs to be given to everybody else in the NFL. I have another name for you. You ready?
Yeah.
Not saying that this guy's the answer, but this is where... Dan's already laughing. He knows where I'm going. This is where I think you can do some things the rest of the year if you're the Browns. You're 1-5. You know, you've got to get really hot to even have any chance to, anyhow, get information. The Tennessee Titans, several years ago, drafted Treylon Burks in the first round at wide receiver.
Mm-hmm.
Big body, was out of Arkansas, like 6'3", 220. Has not achieved diddly in the NFL. Let's just say that. He's dealt with some injuries, had a fractured collarbone in training camp. They thought he was coming back and going well. Well, he got released from injured reserve last week by Tennessee, so he's a free agent.
Do you want him?
Yeah.
Of course you do.
I do. You know why? I want to see him. He's already met with Denver. He's going to be visiting the Washington Commanders. Now, keep in mind, Denver has who at quarterback? Bo Nix.
Right.
Young guy, second-year guy. Commanders have who at quarterback? Jaden Daniels.
Young
guy, second-year guy.
Yeah.
They're bringing in more talent around their second, or at least talking to, more talent for their second-year quarterbacks. We have young quarterbacks. We don't have good wide receivers. Sign the dude to a contract for this year and an option for next. And let him play. And if he stinks, get rid of him. But this guy was, I think, the 18th overall pick in the 2022 draft.
And again, why is he looking for a team right now?
He got waived because of injury.
Okay.
But why not? Why not?
Yeah,
he's not been good. We just heard Kevin talking about Chad O'Shea, his wide receiver coach, and what a great job he does. Great. Let him try and coach him up. Take a chance on some of these guys. I throw out Treylon Burks. There are other guys out there. Bring in some guys and see what you can do, because you don't have enough draft picks to restock this roster. And can you strike gold in free agency? Maybe.
Well, do you want to go on the premise of the caller from last segment? What if you traded out Miles? Then would you have enough
draft picks to rebuild? I don't care to trade Miles. But
I don't either. Why would you walk away from our defense?
I don't care to do that. You have one. The only reason you would care to do that, Andy, is if you think it's more than a one-year rebuild. If you think the team is gearing up to move into the covered stadium and be ready to roll, maybe have a year or two beforehand, and that next year is going to be just like this, then I could understand entertaining trade offers. Terry's in Cleveland. Hello, Terry.
What's up, T?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Well, good. Thank you.
Well, you know, I call quite often, so here I go again.
And we enjoy it.
And I just want to ask y'all a question. So it was a time when the Browns was like firing coaches left and right. This regime has had enough. 6 years and nothing. We're going backwards. We're not going forward. After that playoff win against Pittsburgh, what have we did? Nothing. Regress. And why do he get such a long time? I don't get it.
Terry, yes you do. Yes, you do get it. Yes, you do get it.
Well, why is he not being held accountable by Haslam? Like, it's okay.
Who's supposed to be the quarterback of this team?
And what if Haslam is holding himself responsible?
Oh, man. Well, it won't be the first time. But see, this is the thing. And I was talking to a buddy of mine. He said, well, why don't Barry fire? Who was here first, Stefanski or Barry? Didn't they hire the head coach first?
They weren't exactly a package deal, but they were within a very short period of time of each other. I forget who got hired first, but basically they were paired together.
Well, don't you? They wanted DePodesta wanted Stefanski a year earlier,
right?
And then they brought him in after that. So
now, Jeff, you're talking about receivers.
number 84. What is his name? Arvidsson?
Yeah. Boy, he got lit up. I hope he's okay.
Yeah, he did. But I really like the way he go after that ball. He's like, he really looked like he could be something. Why they don't? Well, what is it though?
They just brought him up. I mean, he wasn't even active until what, 2 weeks ago?
Yeah, I think he's just getting his first real playing time.
Yeah, they're just giving him a shot.
And see, there are a couple of guys, Corley, Thrash, Gage. And Terry, thank you, bud. Andy, I just think they're hard-pressed, and this is nothing against Luke. I think they're hard-pressed to have 2 5'8 wide receivers on the team. Don't you?
Jeff, just get me somebody who can catch the ball. Why would height doesn't matter on this team? If it did, they wouldn't have their current quarterback.
I think it does matter at wide receiver. And it doesn't mean you can't have a 5'8 wide receiver. I just don't think you need two of them.
Jeff, they need someone who can catch the ball. That's all it matters. Well, sure. I don't care how tall or how short they are. And I'm a big proponent of not having any wide receiver under 6 foot. To be honest with you, I would want every wide receiver to be at least 6'2".
That's one of the intriguing things about Cedric Tillman.
I watched VASJ play last week. They got two kids that could play for the Browns right now with some serious height. And one of the kids they had last week, I must have been 6'4", 6'5". I mean, and could catch and could run. I just, can you please get me a wide receiver with some serious height?
Treylon Burks, 6'3". Bring him in. Have a chat. Dylan Gabriel's press conference, momentarily. You'll hear it here on The Fan. What have you thought of Dylan Gabriel so far?
He has been efficient without the results. How's that sound?
Boy, that's really well put.
I can't really think. He doesn't have a turnover. He's done, I think, everything the coach has asked him to do. He has lived to see another day on a lot of plays that maybe other quarterbacks might have tried to force a play. He has been efficient without the results.
He looks like he knows what he's doing.
He does. I agree.
He looks like he knows what he's doing.
I could live with one interception a game if they open it up a little bit and maybe got some points. I would trade one interception for 14 points. How's that sound?
Yep. I would agree with you on that. It goes back to a story that I've mentioned before. I have a buddy who played Big Ten baseball. Played college baseball.
That's Division One. That's
he always. Deal. He always said that his coach, who he didn't really care for, said this: "Son, you're not a very good defensive player. You're going to let in one run a game with your glove, but by God, you're going to hit in two. Head on out. You're in right. Go.
Congratulations.
you're in and you're hitting third. There you go.
If the ball's over your head, think about where you think it's going to land, and then come in behind it.
And that's why I agree with you. Open it up a little." If he throws an interception, he throws an interception. But if he throws a 35-yard pass down the middle and opens things up, let's go. And he showed in college that he has the arm strength to do that.
He has the maturity to be an NFL quarterback, too. I mean, he's got some poise.
Oh, we're going
to
hear him. He sounds like he's a 5-year vet. Folks, what have you thought of him so far? And have we seen enough to have any kind of a real impression? I'll give you my thoughts. Andy will give you his. 216-474-0092. It's Baskin and Phelps here on The Fan. Dylan Gabriel has made 2 starts for the Browns. I think he's looked okay. I don't think he's looked good. He certainly hasn't looked bad. He looks to me, Andy...
Efficient.
Efficient, competent, under control, but maybe too under control. And I don't mean that from his standpoint. I mean that from the coach's standpoint. I agree with what you said earlier. Turn him loose. Let's go.
So what if he throws an interception at this point? What's the difference?
It's weird because we say, come on, let's go. Turn him loose when he threw it 52 times. Okay, that sounds silly. But it didn't.
There was only one play of over 20 yards last week. And it didn't happen until the fourth quarter.
It didn't look like, and it was the game before, too. Remember, they had 2 22-yard plays late when they were trying to get on the field.
Super high percentage throws.
Yeah. And I'm wondering, this guy is known for arm strength. He's known to have a good arm.
And being mobile.
So let him go ahead and make some plays.
The only time...
Trust him a little bit.
Yeah, the only time you've allowed him to be mobile is when the pocket collapses.
Frequently.
Yeah, and so then he's got to run up the gut. That's about it. And so he avoids some things, and he's been efficient.
Well, one thing that might help him here, how about rolling him out? You know,
I said that 10 times last time I was watching. Do we have a screen pass in our arsenal?
Yeah, design the offense a little bit to get him out of harm's way if you can. If you're going to drop him back, I love what Joel Bitonio said. If you're going to drop him back 60 times, he's going to get hit. Joel's right. How about that? And Joel's blocking for him. So, you know, he knows. You're going up against a good Pittsburgh pass defense. You're going to get hit. You're trying to throw it 60 times. I would like to turn him loose. And that goes back, Andy, to what we talked about at the beginning of the show. You're trying to win some games. I get that. Well, guess what? Being really conservative hasn't won you any games either, has it? You're 1-5. And the guy who was the quarterback in that game, you got rid of. Which, fine, I get it. You want to see the young guys. Not a problem. And, you know, you're going to bring in Dylan anyway, even before you traded Joe. So I get it. But turn him loose. Let's see what you have. And if he starts another three games, Andy, and you don't see anything you like, then start Shedeur Sanders. Let's discover something about these guys before you have to go into the draft next year and decide whether you're taking a quarterback or not, which I still assume you are.
If you go back and look at Gabriel's, I'm just looking back at his last two seasons between just looking at Oregon and then Oklahoma before that, right? You know how many games they scored less than 20 points in those last two seasons of his life? Once. That was against Wisconsin. I mean, he's got to be a little frustrated there, don't you think? I would be frustrated.
Yeah, turn him loose, man. Let him go.
Yeah.
I mean, here's the thing, Andy. If you don't turn him loose and let him go, it's not a really fair opportunity for him to be the starting quarterback.
Man, they hung 73 on Arkansas State.
Oh, that's great. Arkansas man. State, they stink. Jeff's in North Olmsted. Hello, Jeff.
Good morning, gentlemen.
How are you?
So, you know, I just turned the radio on when I got in the car, and I heard Gabriel, and then I heard you say something along the lines of efficient but without the results. Well, immediately I thought backup quarterback when you described that, and here's why.
Sure.
You know, because that's what it sounds like to me. And, you know, after watching him for a couple games, Stefanski is doing him no favors with the offense, right? So what you're seeing is, you know, him dropping back a ton. He's getting hit a ton. He looks like he's just running for his life right now. And it's hard to judge that body of work just based upon that, especially when it feels like he's just struggling, right? Well, here's the even bigger picture, and I think that it's interesting, too, is because I don't know if you guys have brought it up or anybody else has. Playing on the road is tough, right? Playing at home with a 1-5 record as a new quarterback is going to be even tougher for Dylan, and here's why.
Can't argue with that, Jeff.
The second a couple bad throws are made or he misses a target, guess what? Here come the boos. And then guess what? By about halftime, you're going to hear the "we want Sanders" chant. So, again, it's not going to get any easier for this kid. And, you know, the Sanders thing is obviously we want to see what both sides of it are so we can actually put to bed whether it's going to work or it's not going to work, right? It's going to get hard for Dylan. And then, you know, you guys brought up this roster construction stuff, and here's only one point I want to make because I do agree with you, Jeff. I think we do need to start moving some pieces here because – guys, this isn't going to be fixed next year. This feels like the 1-31 all over again. It's not going to be as bad as that, but it feels that way. And honestly, I loved Rizzo's rant on Miles the other day, and here's the key to all of that.
All right, Jeff, thank you very much. Number to join us is 216-474-0092. Daryl's coming up at 12:40, so get ready for Daryl. We're also going to talk with Chris Rose coming up at 1 o'clock. Matt is in Uniontown. Hello, Matt.
Hey, Matt.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
You are.
Hey, I'm gonna preference this by saying when I was growing up watching the Indians, I was always rooting for that one guy. And I remember the one guy I thought was going to be that guy was Carmelo Castillo.
Yes. So
you guys don't remember Carmelo, right?
Yeah.
Yes. Outfielder.
So, yes. So why I'm bringing that up is the patience that folks are going to have with a rookie quarterback. I just don't think Cleveland fans can do it. And I'm not talking about Gabriel, and I'm not talking about Sanders. I'm talking about when you draft a guy in the first round next year, if you do, What are you going to do when he can't, when he has trouble reading the field, when he's not sure what to do? You know, are you going to hammer him like you're doing these other kids? Like, for instance, on Sunday, I'm floating around for Brown stuff, and Andy, you and Ryder come up.
Mm-hmm.
And the first thing I see is Ryder saying, see, I was right. He's not mobile. He's not accurate.
He kept saying that, yeah.
Yeah, he just ripped him, and I'm like, okay, he probably can't see some stuff because it's the first time he's seeing it. College is one thing, pros is another. This goes back for Sanders. It's like, I've got to be right about, I said this guy was horrible, so I've got to be right. Mary Kay Cabot, I had Sanders going second overall. I got to be right. Well, and I fall into that too. I think most fans do, and some of the media, obviously. But the fans have to understand that guy, there will be a next guy. Because Gabriel is probably going to play 10 years as a backup in the league, make a lot of money, and, you know, he'll be fine. So will Sanders. But that next guy is going to make mistakes too. And if you're going to tear him apart and dissect everything he does until he learns, you're never going to be happy.
He's eight quarters into his career. That's what I keep saying to myself. He's only eight quarters into his career. You got to give him a chance.
Yeah, well, even him or the next guy. Peyton Manning threw 22 interceptions his rookie year. So what are you guys going to do?
Hey, friends, it's Ken Carmen
and Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
If somebody comes up, it's like the Baker Mayfield thing. I was like, yeah, some liked them, some didn't, but you have to wait. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
All right, Matt. Just have to be patient. And you have to get a good sample size, Andy. Honestly, I want to see him, turn him loose and let him go. Let's see what he can do. I mean, seriously, at this point, what do you have to lose? Another football game. Whippy Fizz, I'm sorry to say.
I don't know how he can't, how Gabriel can't be frustrated. I just looked through his entire college career, whether he started or not, or whether he even played in the game. He was on teams that scored mega points all the way from UCF to Oklahoma through Oregon. I mean, you're talking about, I think it was less than five times in his, what did he play, 6 years in college, scored less than 20 points in a game. And now you come into the pro set, and you can't get past 17, and he's only had two chances to do it. He's been on teams that know how to score and score big.
Well,
and
most has got to be frustrating. They don't get to the NFL if they aren't part of good offenses.
I'm just saying that's pretty amazing that in the 6 years that he was in college, whether he was playing quarterback or not, his team, you know, and he's had, I don't know, what do you have, 64 starts, right? I mean, insane. It's insane. And you got to feel like you're running into a brick wall when you're in that situation. So he's going to improve. They need to open it up. They need a little more water come out of the faucet.
Chuck's in Brecksville, home of the Bees. What's up, Chuck?
Hey, Chuck.
Hey, how we doing, man?
Well,
I want to say something. Well, about yesterday, Andy, you were saying some shows you used to wear shorts or no pants, man. They got jobs for guys like that. It's called Chippendales.
Oh, well, you know what? I was more like Chris Farley,
Chuck,
there.
That's
so
great.
Yeah, you'd be surprised how many people wear shorts.
That doesn't make me Swayze, does it?
No, you're nowhere near. Maybe I'm Swayze and you're Farley.
No, actually, so I wanted
to. But you'll never watch local news the same again, will you? Never.
Never, right?
That's right.
So I wanted to chime in
about bothering watching
Gabriel.
Good job. Yeah.
Definitely, he eight quarters in. He need more time. But the thing is, he's the quarterback, and he orchestrates where the ball goes. Now, he dropped back 58 times. It's about 6-7 throws where guys was running wide open, and those were the big plays. So unless Stefanski was saying, hey, don't take any shots down the field, which it's no way I thought he was telling them that. I think that him being able to see is a big deal because he can't take those big shots that's available. Another thing I want to say is a lot of people saying he's mature. I don't think he showed a lot of maturity when he tried to rip Patrick Queen's helmet off. Nobody's talking about that.
I don't remember it. Refresh my memory on the play.
Oh, Patrick Queen laid a clean hit on him in the pocket. He got the throw off, and he literally tried to rip his helmet off.
Oh, yeah, I do remember that. Yeah, you're right.
That was, I think it was just frustration, you know.
Yeah, it was frustration. I do remember.
Patrick has a reputation, though.
Not a good look.
Yeah, no, he's right, though. It's not a good look for your quarterback to start doing that. Yeah, he's right.
You know, and Chuck, thank you. I forget who it was, or I would tell you. But a football guy this week that I talked to said this, and he was wondering. He's wondering if the Browns are having, he said, most of the time when a quarterback reads the defense, it's from deep back to the line of scrimmage. So in other words, your first look is deep, your second look is intermediate, your last look is the dump off, the shorter pass. And he was wondering, and he said, I can't tell, if it's reverse for the Browns. Your first read is short. Your second read is the intermediate. And then your last read is the deep ball.
I don't think he has time for that.
I don't think he did the other day.
No.
That's for dang sure. Real quick, Cleveland and Cleveland. Hey, Cleveland, we got about 30 seconds, buddy.
I wanted
to get you in before Darryl.
Oh, yeah, no problem. I just wanted to say one thing, man. What a cool customer that quarterback is. He is so cool, same face. Doesn't matter what he does, right or wrong, he still keeps that composure together. And I'll let you roll with that one.
Cleveland,
thank
you.
He's mature. There's no question about it.
See, that's what I think. I think he's pretty composed. And that's all well and good. I'd rather see him be, you know, volatile and great. But composed and great to me is even better. So I'm hoping that that's what we end up with. Daryl Ryder was out there in Berea today. All of the press conferences. He's going to join us next right here on Baskin and Phelps. Let's bring in our man who's out in Berea. He is Daryl Ryder. He's brought to us. Pardon me. By Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Hello, Daryl.
Hey, Daryl.
Hello, boys.
Nice job in the press conferences. Good questions.
Thank you. Didn't exactly get great answers.
No, that you can't control that, though, Daryl. You can't control that.
All we can do is ask the questions.
What have you thought of Dylan Gabriel during two games? You missed it. Andy and I both thought basically competent and professional and not overly effective, and we're kind of hoping maybe they unleash him a little bit this week.
Three words, not good enough. Plain and simple, okay. Not good enough.
How much of that is him and how much of that is the game plan he's been given and maybe the talent surrounding him?
Well, I think it's all conspiring to give you the product that you're watching, to be honest with you. He's not great. He doesn't elevate anybody. He could use a little elevation himself so he can see where he's throwing the football. And it just, you know, the receivers aren't helping him out by dropping footballs. They might be gator arming a little bit because he's putting footballs in kill shot zones. And, you know, dropping back 58 times and throwing it 52 times is not a winning formula. I don't think you can point to one singular thing, Jeff, where you're like, hey, if we fix this, it's all good to go. And that's how you know you have a crisis on your hands, because it's not just one thing. It's everything. And, you know, I don't know how they fix everything, but that's kind of where you are entering week 7, going against another 1-5 team in the Miami Dolphins.
Do you see anything positive about Gabriel?
Not really.
You're killing him. I mean, let's be honest.
I'm just beyond unimpressed with him. And the reels that are going around social media are spectacularly awful. Barstool put one out or posted one and, you know, laughing. Hey, Dylan Gabriel's taking the NFL by storm, and it was every bad throw he had Sunday against the Steelers. And I don't blame him. I blame the people that hired him.
Would Sanders be better at this point?
No.
In your world, I guess.
No, he's not. I don't think he's ready to play. I don't think the organization feels like he's ready to play. So no, he wouldn't be better. They don't think he's ready to play yet. I don't know how he'd be better. But this is the lot they made for themselves, and they kind of have to deal with it. And, you know, we're seeing frustration from the defensive side of the ball because obviously they're doing their job. And the offense can't score more than 17 points. It's 11 straight games of this. 19 games going back, you know, to last year. So it's, you know, I don't know if this is by design of the front office or whatever, but frankly, it's an unwatchable product offensively. And, you know, the defense is starting to create some turnovers a little bit here in recent weeks. And I kind of feel like the only way they have a shot to win is if the defense scores off those turnovers too. If you know, you get a scoop and score or a pick six, but I don't have very much hope for this offense. It's unwatchable, guys.
You're getting no argument here. Let's let me ask you this one though. The way that this team has played through the first six games, we knew they'd be tough. They're 1-5.
Yeah.
You've got to do something remarkable to put yourself in playoff contention, which I don't think they'll do, obviously.
It's not even worth talking about.
Exactly. Yeah. So this, what do you want the rest of the way? Are you trying to get results or are you trying to get information? We kick this around the first hour of the show. I'm all on information right now. See who you think you might be able to move forward with. And if you can, great, they're on the team next year. And if not, you're looking.
Yeah, I mean, it's all about evaluation, right? And listen, I was very clear about that weeks ago when the conversation was about moving from Joe Flacco to Dylan Gabriel. Well, they've done it, so how exciting has that been to watch? Okay, so the answer you're looking for, it's not. And I also said that once they moved to Dylan Gabriel, you're no longer about winning games. It's about evaluation. It's about what you're talking about, you know, collecting information, or as the front office would say, collect data points. Ugh. On things. That's really where it's at, right? So you're evaluating Dylan Gabriel, his growth week to week. Okay, so there was purely zero growth from his first start to his second start. Miami's defense is not very good. So let's see if there's some quote unquote growth against the Miami Dolphins, as in, can they score some freaking points against the 1-5 team, right? That, you know, that's what you're looking for, on Sunday. Can, you know, Jerry Jeudy, catch some more footballs that get thrown his way? Can they involve Quinshon Judkins more than, he was involved, last weekend? Again, I just don't understand how they thought throwing the football 52 times, or in this case 58 because he was sacked six, but I don't know how they think dropping back 58 times with an undersized quarterback who can't see is a winning formula. On what planet is that a winning formula? And, oh, by the way, the offense is all dink and dunk junk anyway. You know, they're not even pushing the ball down the field. They're not even trying to push the ball down the field. The Pittsburgh Steelers knew that. The Pittsburgh Steelers didn't even respect the Browns' passing game. Okay? Nobody has any respect for this passing game, nor should they. Have you watched it? So, I do feel like it is what it is, but Miami's a bad football team. And this is an opportunity for the Browns to kind of get themselves right a little bit. Maybe they can build some positive momentum, you know, going into these next couple of weeks here, you know, by playing well at home, against a 1-5 Dolphins team.
Daryl, do you think the locker room thinks it's as absurd as we do that you wanted to throw 58 times and you ran at 17?
Well, I mean, I asked Dylan Gabriel about that today, and he gave the diplomatic answer. You know, obviously you want to have you want to be balanced offensively, but you're fighting time, you're fighting the scoreboard. And that's, again, it's understandable, Jeff. But when you're down 9-3, okay?
You're in the game.
You're in the game. Or you're down 16-3. You're still in the game. You still got a shot.
Yep.
And it did not turn into a three-score game until the fourth quarter, which is, you know, we've seen a lot of that this year, right? You're in the game through three quarters, and then the fourth quarter it slips away from you, and I don't want to say get out of hand because it's not like they've been run off the field on the scoreboard here, but, like, it turns into those, you know, multi-score catch-up type of situations. But you can't catch up by throwing screen passes or dinking and dunking 5-yard throws. And even those throws are off the mark. That's my whole point. I mean, he hit Isaiah Bond in the side of the head on a route by the goal line. How does that happen? So,
and he never turned his head to look.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, no play encapsulates this offense better than that. In that one play right there, wide open, coming across the face there of the goal line, football, not even looking for it, hits him in the side of the helmet. That's your 2025 Cleveland Browns offense, boys and girls.
Daryl, let me ask you this one then. Ready? As far as change is concerned, let's just say they don't win this week. Tell me where you are with Kevin Stefanski, because I've got a lot of folks that say to me, Kevin's back next year no matter what. I've heard that from a lot of people. I don't know
I just
know it's football. You just never know.
Yeah, and here's the thing, though. What does change do for you, right? I don't feel like this is a Hugh Jackson situation where it's just incompetence everywhere, right? And, you know, you're just going counterculture to everything just because that's what you want to do, right?
Mm-hmm.
To me, the situations are a little different. And really the only one that I would consider, just to go along with your premise, okay? I'm not advocating for this, but just to follow with your premise there, the only one I would consider to be qualified for that change would be to elevate Jim Schwartz, the interim head coach, right?
Mm-hmm.
And again,
you're talking about a mid-season change. You're not talking an end-season change.
Okay. Yeah. Kevin was asked the question about being on the hot seat today during the press conference and all that kind of thing, and I don't know that it's the same situation of when they fired Hugh Jackson midseason and Greg Williams took over and they won 5 of the final 8 games. Like, I don't know that you're going to have that here. I don't know that talent's in this building on the offensive side of the ball. I mean, that's the issue. They have a talent deficiency on the offensive side of the ball. They have a talent deficiency in the receiver room. They're running out of bodies in the offensive line room. They don't have a left tackle. We're finding that out, right?
Mm-hmm.
You've got a really good franchise running back in Quinshon Judkins. But outside of that, not much in that running back room either. And then we all know what the quarterback situation is. So what results are people expecting? Like, raise your hand if you thought this team was going to be better than 1-5 at this point. Because everybody, myself included, thought that this is exactly where this team would be. Now, the way that they've gotten there, right? Because they could easily be 3-2, but the way that they've gotten there, I think, is what has, you know, folks frustrated. But like, the results right now are not the least bit surprising as far as like where they are at organizationally, big picture. So that's why I'm not getting on board with the, hey, they got to run Kevin Stefanski out of town as quickly as they can. I don't believe that that solves the problem. And Kevin has demonstrated when you give him competent talent, he can win with it. And I just don't think that the front office gave him competent talent on the offensive side of the ball. So how are you holding Kevin responsible for that? So what you do have to hold him responsible for is the development of the team, the keeping things together, making sure and that's why I asked Kevin what I did about keeping the team together, right? Make sure offense and defense don't start fighting with each other. Keep the locker room cohesive and things like that. And if he's able to do that, if the young players continue to develop, then, you know, I ultimately think that the organization will accomplish their goal, and that's be in position to draft one of the best quarterbacks in the upcoming draft class, which is, I think, if you give some people in this building some truth serum, that's exactly where they want to be next April.
Last thought, guys who are on expiring contracts, they're free agents at the end of the year.
Right.
Would you move anybody you could?
Well, I mean, I think Shelby Harris makes sense. As much as I love Shelby and how great he is, I think he makes sense because Mike Hull Jr. I think as soon as Mike Hull Jr. becomes available to play, then I think Shelby becomes quote unquote expendable, right? That we saw David Njoku in the locker room. He's walking around fine, upbeat. He seemed pretty upbeat today. I think he, you know, becomes a candidate as well. Maybe you can get something for him. He can help a contender. But outside of that, like the conversation about trading any of these offensive linemen, like, you know, trading Wyatt Teller or trading Joel Batonio or Ethan Postick, like, Have you not watched what's going on with the offensive line this year? Do you really think that it would be wise to trade any of the three best players you have in that unit, right? Especially if you're trying to develop these young quarterbacks, you want to give them as much protection as possible. So,
and running
I'm not in favor of moving any of those offensive linemen. I think they're just too valuable. But, you know, Njoku and Shelby Harris, I think those are the two names that you have to watch out for that make the most sense if, in fact, that's, you know, where, you know, Andrew Berry is looking to add assets. But also keep in mind, I think they have 11 draft picks next year. Do they really need more draft picks next year?
Valid point. Daryl, thank you, buddy.
You bet, guys.
Thanks, Daryl.
Daryl Ryder, our Browns beat reporter in Berea, brought to us by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. From all things baseball, Baseball Today on all social channels. He's a man who's doing all kinds of good things and, of course, does the Browns on the preseason television, on the Browns television network. He's our buddy, Mr. Chris Rose. Hello, Chris.
Hey, Chris.
Greetings.
And to you.
Thank you.
So you're 1-5. Let's start with the football team.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen
and Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
You've got a 1-5 football team. The first six games we knew would be tough. They were tough. Did they deserve to be 1-5? Did they deserve to win one of those other games? Should they have? Or did they win a game they shouldn't? Are they where you thought they'd be?
Well, I don't like the word deserve. I threw it out. I don't know.
Just trying to prompt an answer.
I don't think that ever applies to sports. I mean, I come from the kind of the Bill Parcells school. Like, why should we have won game one? I mean, if our guy makes a kick, and he's been pretty good since then, like, that's been the least of our trouble. We don't deserve to be anything other than what we are. Now, the question is, how do we dig out of it? Like, I know that we in the sports world and a lot of people make a living by screaming at the top of their lungs as to why aren't we doing this and why aren't we doing this and how do we get better? Well, let's look at a few things. We get better by having consistent drafts that produce some starters, some Pro Bowlers. That's what a lot of these good teams, if you go look at a lot of these teams that are going to be playing in the playoffs this year, go check out how they draft. That's been the big deal. So this all kind of turned when the Watson trade went remarkably south, because on top of paying a guy $230 million guaranteed, where he was playing like a $4 million a year quarterback instead of a $45 million a year quarterback, you also gave up six prime draft slots, which could have been used at times on offensive linemen, wide receivers. Now, that doesn't mean that we were going to hit on them, because if you look at this regime, unfortunately, how many guys have we drafted at those two areas of need that have come through? It hasn't, right? It started with Jed Wills. He's been the best of the offensive linemen that we've drafted. Whipler hasn't played. Nick Harris was fine. Zach Zinter at this point can't even get on the field. James Hudson was a no-go.
Although he's playing with the Giants at last check.
Yeah, kind of. I mean, he got penalized four times on an opening drive and screamed at by his coach. I'm not so sure how much that qualifies, but yeah, I gotcha. But you understand my point. And wide receiver, we can go down that laundry list. It's not pretty. And so that's kind of where we are right now, and I'm not exactly certain how it gets better, unfortunately. I like to be a solutions person, but I don't know. I don't think I've got the answers. And playing Shador is not one of them. Let me
say this first. Give me your assessment of Dylan Gabriel through two games. What are your thoughts on him? How can he get better?
I think he's exactly what we've seen. I think he's going to be a career backup, but I've told you guys this. I looked at this entirely differently than most people, I think. Everybody's like, well, if we can squeeze one of these guys out to be a starter, look at how much I give you the stats almost weekly, guys, that if all 32 teams played this upcoming weekend with the guys who were slated to play, I'm talking about Joe Burrow, I'm talking about Lamar Jackson, I'm not talking about guys, you know, I'm not talking about Cooper Rush and Snoop Huntley in Baltimore. There are six teams that will start non-first-round drafted quarterbacks. Now, not all of them, we've talked about this, are in the place that drafted them. But teams thought enough of them to make them a night one selection. The only guys that are consistent that are playing that weren't drafted on night one, Dak, Hurts, Brock Purdy, although Mac Jones, who is a first-rounder, has certainly played better than him this year, I would say. Spencer Rattler is out there. Geno Smith, who's been atrocious. So my point is that your starter's coming from night one, guys. And if you think anything other than that, it's a long shot at best. And that's the way I think you have to look at it, that Dylan Gabriel, is he good enough to be a backup? I think he is. I think he can beat some teams. I think he could have won the game against Minnesota, so that if you have a starter that goes down for a month, can your backup go 2-2? I think he can eventually, yes.
I just...
Hello?
Yeah, no, sorry. Hello? We were looking at each other. Hello?
Hello?
Chris, are you there?
Are you? No, you got. I mean, I understand. Like, I get it, how hard it is to talk about all this and every day, but do I want to see Shador play? Sure. I would like it in 3 or 4 weeks if Dylan Gabriel, if this is still the same offense we're looking at, if we don't feel like there's been any progress whatsoever. But what I don't want to have happen, if Shador gets in there and say, look at how the Browns screwed this up. I mean, it's the same thing for Dylan Gabriel. It's the same exact thing. The tackles stink. We can't really run the ball effectively. Wide receivers can't get open. Guys are dropping the ball. He overshoots them. Shador's going to have problems with taking sacks. It's like that's all part of the equation. But the national narrative, I'm sure, will be exactly that when Shador comes in. Can't wait for that one.
Chris, when I look at the big picture on this stuff, it's hard not to look at, on the surface, where the team is, where they're going, and I would say probably, 60 to 70% of teams would be looking for a new coach for next year based on what we've seen and what Kevin's done. I don't feel like that's where we're going in this direction again. I'm super curious to what you hear around the outside and the folks that you hang around with about, you know, Kevin being on the hot seat, about Andrew being on the hot seat, about, you know, what they get from Paul D. Podesta. I'm just curious what you hear.
I think that it's probably the most up in the air one, because when they made the trade out of 2 to 5, virtually everybody agreed that that was to solidify themselves for a quarterback the next year, right? And certainly based on not taking a quarterback until late night 2 of the draft this time around, when obviously they needed quarterback help. So what were those discussions like behind the scenes? Hey guys, we know this is going to be a rough year. Like, we get it. Doesn't mean that we're interested in not winning games. We want to win games, but we know it's going to be rough. So let's all hold hands together and get through this. And we got to nail it next year. And hopefully a bunch of the picks that we've had this year end up being good. And so far that has come out. Now, this regime has not drafted a quarterback yet. As I mentioned, we haven't done a good job finding linemen nor wide receivers. And so that's the question you have to ask yourself if you are Browns ownership, is do you trust the people making the picks to get you out of these depths?
Well, you're sitting at the NFL Network doing your work on Sundays, and you and your coworkers see 52 passes for Dylan Gabriel and 6 more dropbacks where he was sacked and only 17 runs. What was the thought?
Yeah, it's horrible. It's horrible. Like, nobody wants that. Now, in a game where you're down 2 scores late, we've talked about that, that game script is going to dictate kind of where that takes you. So once they get down by 2 scores, they have to start throwing the ball more. But, you know, our inability to stay with a running game and really develop a running game has been costly. Yeah, of course. Who wants him to drop back 58 times? That's a lot in 2 weeks. Let alone one on the road at a place where you haven't won since the 70s, it feels like. So, yeah, it's just, it's not ideal. Now, let's look ahead a little bit, because if there's a place that is taking it on the chin as much as Cleveland, Ohio, it's Miami, Florida.
Yep.
They got a quarterback that can't keep his mouth shut that I'm sure guys in that locker room want to take out behind the lunchroom and let him know, stop, just enough. They got a coach who, I mean, I get depressed watching Mike McDaniel press conferences. I don't know how he feels. I get sad. And I have no allegiance to that team. So this week, it's not going to be easy, but, man, this it feels like there's a W somewhere in there.
I would agree. The Dodgers keep pitching. Let's go baseball a little bit. Boy, Blake Snell was great. Yamamoto last night, just as good, if not better. Starting pitching can take you a long way, Chris, which had me thinking Guardians a little bit. I'm not going to get too carried away, but what's impressed you most about the Dodgers so far? And you know, the Tigers are out, so there you go. And Seattle's sitting pretty as well. What have you thought so far of the championship series?
Yeah, I mean, the two teams with the most consistent starting pitching pretty much, you know, all season in terms of, like, talent-wise. Seattle's starting staff, particularly when Brian Wu is healthy, he's a guy who hopefully gets a chance to start in this series, maybe game five if Toronto's able to extend it. You'll see how good he is because he's uber-talented. The Dodgers, it's, you know, they it was funny. A lot of people said, oh, man, signing Blake Snell in the offseason, what a luxury that is. Well, it's not a luxury. It's been a necessity. He has been phenomenal. And, oh, by the way, anybody could have had him the year before. When he went to San Francisco, really, he signed a two-year deal with an opt-out after a year. Anybody could have done that. Wouldn't have broken your books. You could have had him. You could have tried to extend him. So when people are saying, well, we can't afford it, like, come on now, stop. There were a lot of teams that could have afforded him. He ended up in San Francisco, had a crappy start to that year, but the last 3 months was fantastic. Ended up signing with the Dodgers, you know, when somebody else maybe could have had him and extended him before he hit the open market. But watching them do their thing pitching-wise, it's impressive. And now the Brewers come to L.A., and they got to look at Glasnow, who went 6 shutout in the clinching game against Philadelphia, and Shohei, who gave up 3 runs in 6 innings against Philadelphia. So good luck, Brewers.
Do you think it's going to stay status quo? We're going to get a West Coast World Series, or can Toronto bounce back in Milwaukee? I'm looking forward to watching Bieber pitch. I'm going to be honest with you.
Yeah. Well, I'm excited for him. The last time he pitched in Seattle was the last time he ever pitched for us. If you remember, it was the second start of the year in 2024. His elbow was hanging on by a thread, and he threw 6 shutout innings against a lot of the lineup he's going to see tonight. At least half of that should be the same guys. He struck out 9 that night. I think he gave up 5 hits. And hopefully he's able to kind of rekindle some of that magic. I like to see long series. I'm very much worried about Milwaukee just because they don't ever know who they're pitching. Toronto at least has an idea that sounds like they're going Bieber and then Scherzer. They're going to have to really, really work because that place is going to be jumping. But I hope that they're able to sneak one out tonight and make it a series.
Chris, thank you for your time, sir.
Thank you, Chris.
All right, gentlemen. Always appreciate it.
Peace. Chris Rose joining us on the Fan Hotline. By starting pitching is a fabulous thing. Blake Snell went 8 innings in game 1 against Milwaukee. Bullpen pitched 1 inning. And Yamamoto last night, Yoshi Yamamoto, goes 9, was terrific. And with that, the Dodgers have a 2-0 lead. And I thought, you know, the Guardians have good pitching.
You know, it's pretty amazing to think that it's old school thinking with pitching in these first 2 games for the Dodgers.
Yeah, let them go.
Yeah,
Well, their pitch counts were great. So that's...
It helped.
Without question.
Yeah.
That was really good. And I just thought...
Who are you rooting for in this thing, by the way? Tell me what you thought. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
That's all right. I'm rooting for Seattle in the American League, and I'm rooting for Milwaukee in the National League.
It's kind of hard for me not to want to root for Toronto. I'm sorry. I like Bieber. I want to see if he gets a chance, another chance here. And I still root for Mark. I'm sorry. I still root for – I root for all those guys that were here before. I want to see him win.
Yeah, that's great. I'd like to see Seattle win.
Yeah, I'm out. I'm out on Seattle.
And we have two local guys on Seattle. Yeah. And Josh Naylor. I'm good with them. The Dodgers,
I'm good with Toronto. Okay.
The Dodgers pitching, Andy, has been really good in the postseason. There's no question. That's terrific. 2.80 ERA, which is third best among the playoff teams. Second best, the Cleveland Guardians. Just saying.
It's great. You got a bat for it?
No. But
any chance they're going to spend a little money on a bat?
But we're talking pitching.
It still drives me crazy.
Do you have the base of the Browns defense here in the Guardians pitching, and then maybe can build on that?
Doesn't it feel
because
the same?
It looks like this team has pitching moving forward, and we all know if you have pitching, you can do some things. Proof: you have the worst offense known to man, and yet you made the postseason. And I just wonder if they're onto something here. You coach a lot of hockey.
Yeah,
I've coached a lot of
other things too,
baseball and helping. Andy coaches everything. Sorry,
I'm just saying. I coach the games.
Baseball. I don't coach football or hockey, but I've helped my friend coach baseball for a while, and then coached a lot in the past.
Uh-huh.
And parents will come up, and we'll be talking to parents, and they get excited about the idea of college and everything else,
mm-hmm.
and which is great. As they should, and I think that's terrific.
College for education or college for athletics?
Absolutely athletics.
Okay.
Yeah, the education part is a given. You know, I think people just
For most parents, I don't think so. I think, for most parents, probably. They get it. They understand it. But you got plenty of parents who are just all about the free ride.
Yeah, well, that's silly. But the baseball parents that I talk to,
uh-huh.
and they say stuff, and I always point out one thing. If you're looking for a little cubby to play some college baseball,
mm-hmm.
can he pitch? Can he catch? And I say that for two reasons. Half of the players playing baseball are pitchers, so you need a lot of them, right?
Correct.
And nobody wants to catch. It's not really true, but... If you're a good catcher, you can play a lot of baseball. That's what I always tell parents. If your kid is a good catcher, he will play a lot of baseball. And if you're a really good defensive catcher, you'll get paid $4 million for it.
Amen.
Can we have a round of applause, please, Dan, for Austin Hedges and his agent, please? Andy, let me throw this out to you. I'm not belittling Austin Hedges, okay? Let me just say that. In 2018, when he was a member of the San Diego Padres, Austin Hedges actually hit a career-high 231.
He did hit over 200?
Oh, he hit awesome. 231 in 2018. That was the year after he hit 214 and hit 18 bombs. The only two seasons of Austin Hedges' career where he has hit over 200.
What was his final batting average this year?
Let me enlighten you, Andy.
Yeah.
When he came to the Indians Guardians in 2020.
Oh, good.
He came down
memory lane.
He came back and he played a little bit, you know, after the trade from the Padres. Mm-hmm. He hit 083. In 2021, he hit 178.
Ooh, don't double this amount.
In 2022, Austin hit 163. Then he went to, remember he left our team and went to the Pirates and the Rangers.
Oh, yeah.
He hit a combined 184.
Ooh.
He hit 180 for Texas, or for Pittsburgh, and 208 for Texas. But then he came back to our team, which I'm glad he did. He's a tremendous defensive catcher. He does a really great job. Last year, he hit 152. 152 in 2024. He raised his average this year to 161. By God, give him $4 million more. $4 million contract. By the way, the $4 million contract is officially official now.
Oh, okay. I was concerned.
Just so you know.
I thought it was unofficially official, yeah, and then it became unofficially
official. It's officially official.
So now it's officially
according
official.
According to those of us here at The Fan.
Better sure. Agent, Austin Hedges' agent or Cam Robinson's agent? For those of you who don't know, Cam Robinson has made $81 million in his career.
He's at least
baffled by both.
He's at least hit the offensive tackle equivalent of about 214.
Unbelievable.
But at least he's over 200.
We need those guys in our life, guys. We got to find those agents.
Isn't that phenomenal?
His knees are going to have to pay for it, boys.
Career batting average of 185 for
so
Austin.
So well compensated if we had those agents.
You know what's going to happen to Austin? Austin is going to play here as long as he probably wants to.
He's almost on
the Carl Willis plan. So good for him. And, Carl's phenomenal. Well, Austin Hedges is a phenomenal defensive catcher. He really is. He's great in the locker room. He's great for the pitching staff. I get all that.
He's here as long as Vogt's here. That's what I would say.
Oh, maybe not.
As long as Vogt's like, yeah, I still want him. Remember, every manager gets one player they want. I'm 100% convinced of that. One player, and this is his one guy.
Well, by God, he's back. So good for him. $4 million. Maybe, I would assume he has to make the team, but you never know. He's got $4 million. Mm. Teach your kids to be a catcher, mom and dad. Get behind the plate.
Morning Show was saying that they should put him in the bullpen. I'm like, what are you going to do?
For what?
As a coach. By the way, Brad Goldberg's doing a fantastic job. I don't know if anybody's noticed that. He's like under Carl Willis. Man, those two together, they're rising together.
That's beautiful. Carl's already risen.
Yeah, no, I mean, but I think like you kind of see him coming along for the ride. Like I think that how they're real good about trying to invest in the future to see what's next. I think you got the next Carl Willis in the bullpen right now.
So to go back to your initial point though, Jeff, on starting pitching and especially in this playoffs.
Thank you.
And Carl Willis is doing awesome. I'm not like trashing anything you said, Andy. It was just more a thought that popped into my head.
Though there's okay.
Do you think
how could you trash Carl what you can't?
Do you think what the Dodgers are doing with the starting pitching going as deep as it is?
Yeah.
And they've been doing it throughout the entire playoffs.
It's going to set a trend?
Is this desperation? Because their bullpen is a train wreck. Bullpen is a mess right now.
I don't know, man. I watched these two guys start the last two games. They didn't need to go to the bullpen.
You know what they did? But they've done what Andy said. They've gone old school. And it's this. Our starter's doing fine. Leave him in there.
Right.
That to me is managing. He's pitched his five, get him out of there, even though his pitch count's okay. That's following somebody's analytical, data sheet sent down.
I agree. That's robot managing.
I think it's also playing to your strengths, by the way. Like, I think it's also being able to look at your staff those five guys over there are a hell of a lot better than what I'm going to pull out of that thing. So
Other thing about last two nights that I think are easy to compensate for.
You missed what I said, though, too, which was he's doing just fine. Leave him alone.
Yes. Like, that to me is a manager's gut instinct, right? Because remember, they were talking about it during the broadcast last night. The other question is you're trying to measure how many bullets are left in their arm, right? Well, how many more starts are either one of these guys going to have? Even if both series go seven. Three. Mm-hmm. So let them ride. And if they still have velocity later in the innings and your pitch count's still relatively low, let them go. You get in the World Series and they're knocking them down and you're at 100 pitches and you're in the fifth inning. Let him go to the six. Who can? How many bullets you got? You got a whole offseason to rest.
I mean, you watched that last night with the Brewers and Freddy Peralta. I mean, Freddy went to the manager and said, "Hey, I got one more in me." The manager went, "Get out there, son. Let's see it." And then ball went on the fence.
Well, that was bad managing.
Next month, he put one out.
Yeah, but see,
why? Because he's had analytics his whole career, and he didn't have to have the gut feeling to know he should take. Because analytics sucked
Murphy
it out.
Murphy was at Notre Dame and Arizona State, baby. He knows.
Good gravy.
He knows how to manage. The question though, Dan, is this: if your guy's doing well, leave him alone.
Leave him alone.
And let's go back to this. You could make the only argument you could make maybe about Steven Vogt not handling pitchers well, and I'm not saying I think he does, but I'm saying the only argument you could make is that he follows a great extreme. Hey, you did your five, you did your six. We think you might have another one in you, but it's time to go to the bullpen and run our four guys out there and have them make 70 appearances this year, and we get to September and they're toast.
You just made me remember one of my most frustrating points in the whole game of baseball. Setup guy goes up there in the eighth, gets the heart of the order, 3, 4, 5, does it in like less than 15 pitches.
And, bring in a closer.
And then you got to bring in your closer. That is like the dumbest thing I've ever seen. It drives me insane. Insane. I know, we're paying our closer to be our closer, blah, blah, blah. No, your setup guy just totally destroyed the other lineup, and now you got to pull him out because you got to go to your closer? No, you don't have to go. And by the way, if you're looking at payment management, wouldn't you rather, salary-wise, I'm saying, wouldn't you rather be able to have two closers, three closers, guys? The whole concept of closer beyond Mariano Rivera just bothers me.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen
and Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show
your way and on your time.